Welcome to episode 75 of the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Beth Below. Love it or hate it, it's that time of year again, Valentine's Day. When I was in graduate school, I was one of 11 members of an all-female program, none of whom had significant others at the time. When Valentine's Day rolled around, we called it Black Thursday. We weren't that bitter. Really, we weren't. But it wasn't a day that we were necessarily looking forward to. Since then, I've switched to a neutral relationship with the holiday, using it as a reminder to tell others I love them, but not taking the whole thing so seriously. This Valentine's Day in 2015 is special, though, because introverts have a new resource to help them navigate the relationship waters. Sophia Dembling has a new book out called Introverts in Love, and it's the ideal book for whatever stage you're in, from playing the field to walking down the aisle. We'll learn more about that in the conversation portion of this podcast when I chat with Sophia and get her insights on a few questions posed by the Introvert Entrepreneur Facebook community. Part 1. Initial Insight. When it comes to love, I don't just think about my personal relationships. I think about my relationship to my business and how in love I am with my work. I'm way past the honeymoon phase. Technically, I'm in the 7-year itch phase. But most days, I'm pleased to report, I feel more grounded than itchy. There are occasional get-me-out-of-here moments, but those are few and far between. And in reality, the words I hear in my head are, "Calgon, take me away!" But sharing that would date me, wouldn't it? But I guess I just did. So what has kept me grounded and moving forward? What's worked for my coaching clients when they start to feel that itch? I compiled a few tips from my e-newsletter that feel perfect to share here as well. When you think about how to keep the love alive in your business, here are 4 ideas for your consideration. Number 1, renew your vows. Every day, or at least every Monday or whatever day is the new work week for you, take a moment to recommit to your business and to your work. It might sound like this. Today, I'm committed to bringing my best energy to my work, customers, and clients. I will take care of myself and focus on what's most important. So keep your statement simple and do it consistently. Number 2, tell the story of how you first met. There's nothing that energizes us more than relaying the story of how we met the person that we are in love with. And the same is true about recalling the early days of the passion that we felt for our businesses. So take a moment to tell that story. Write a blog post or an article, do an interview or a podcast, journal about it, or just find a place to tell the story of how you founded your business or discovered your calling. And in the course of telling that story, include your lessons learned and what your accomplishments were. Number 3, have an affair. Total monogamy, or in lots of cases, autonomy, in a business is a recipe for isolation and exhaustion. New partners bring new energy and ideas. A mentor, a coach, an accountability partner, virtual assistant, branding consultant, business partner, or employee will help you see things with new eyes. And 4, plan your future together. We often feel burned out because we haven't had time to step back. Take an hour or two, or more time if you can make it. Go someplace outside of your normal routine. Pair up and partner with the people who have the biggest impact on your business, and take time to dream. What do you want to be celebrating 1, 5, 10 years from now? And when you renew your vows, include an intention that reflects that dream. For example, it might sound like, "I'm committed to building a lifestyle business that includes travel." Part 2, shameless self-promotion. I just this week had a conversation with a coaching client about soliciting testimonials. She, like so many other introverts, and probably a few extroverts, feels like asking for testimonials is salesy. I can so totally get that. It can feel self-serving, like we're asking people to tell us how great we are. My invitation to her was to reframe it and think about how testimonials can be of service. They provide feedback, as well as give others insight into what they can expect if they interact or work with you. So to that end, I have 2 invitations for you. Invitation number 1. If you feel challenged about asking for testimonials, start by doing a reframing exercise. Ask yourself, what is the benefit to me in receiving a testimonial? What is the benefit to the client giving the testimonial? And what is the benefit to a potential client, to someone who is thinking of working with me? Take some time to make some notes about that and start to shift your story about the purpose of testimonials. Invitation number two, if you enjoy this podcast and find value in it, help others to discover it too. This is my request for your testimonial. Your review on iTunes increases the visibility of the Introvert Entrepreneur podcast, which means more people find it and benefit from the information that's shared here. At the end of this episode, take 5 minutes to visit the iTunes store and leave a short review, or share the link with your social media networks and encourage people to listen. We might be introverts, but this is an opportunity to embrace the more, the merrier. Part 3, the conversation. What does it mean to be an introvert in love? Is it more challenging for introverts to find love in the first place? And what about keeping it, especially when it means living with someone and maybe even creating more someones who share your space and require your energy? My guest today is Sophia Dembling, author of numerous fabulous books, including The Introvert's Way, Living a Quiet Life in a Noisy World, and most recently, Introverts in Love, The Quiet Way to Happily Ever After. As Sophia puts it, she's all about the words, writing books, blog posts, articles, essays, and op-eds. She even enjoys editing the work of other people who, like her, are all about the words. Introverts benefit from her books, as well as her regular blog, The Introverts Corner, on psychologytoday.com. Hi, Sophia. Welcome to the Introvert Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm excited to be talking with you about introverts in love today.
I'm really happy to be here. I always love talking to you.
Oh, thanks. That's making me smile. But I'm wondering, what's making you smile today?
Well, the cardinals in my yard, which have been limited to the platform feeder I have, suddenly discovered the little tube feeder right near my office window. So I'm getting a nice up close and personal with the cardinals, and that's really tickling me.
Awesome. Yeah, we get some bluebirds here sometimes.
Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah, and I'm not a bird watcher, but when you see those bright colors, like the red and the blue, it's like, ooh, exciting. Mm-hmm. Especially since we're talking in January, and you are in Texas, and so yes. You probably are getting some of that year-round, but for some people, they're probably yearning to see the cardinals.
Yes, indeed.
So, talking about introverts in love, my first question is about your process of what you learned as you researched and wrote the book. In particular, what did you learn that surprised you or that was unexpected?
Well, I don't know if it was surprise as much as really interesting to me to learn how balanced the relationships between introverts, and introverts, extroverts are. I spoke to about 50 introverts while I was researching the book, and of those who were in relationships, about half of them were with introverts, about half of them with extroverts, and among those who divorced, about half had divorced from introverts and half from extroverts. So it seems that there's a lot of other things at play when it comes to introvert-extrovert relationships that don't really apply to introversion, extroversion, that either one can work, and different types of people like different types of relationships, which sounds kind of self-evident, but it was interesting because that's one of the most common questions I get is, should I be with an introvert or should I be with an extrovert? And really what I learned is that it really depends on a lot of different factors.
Absolutely. And for you personally, are you married to an introvert or an extrovert?
I'm married to an introvert. He may be a little bit less introverted than I am, but he has to deal with people all day long and I don't, so it's hard to tell. Really, by the end of the day, he doesn't want to see or hear from anybody, whereas by the end of the day, I've been alone all day and I'm ready to have a conversation.
Yeah, well, that's a great point that a lot of it has to do, like you said, it's beyond the introvert extrovert, but also just the differences in the professional and lifestyle choices that each person has made can make the relationship more or less compatible because you get your needs met in different ways.
Absolutely.
One of the things that I loved many things about your book. One of those was just that point that you brought up, revealing that the introvert-extrovert dynamic and the introvert-introvert dynamic is really important, but there's so many other things to consider. And one of those, in my mind, is about the introvert knowing themselves and their own level of self-acceptance and how much they bring that into a relationship. And one of my favorite lines in the book is when you say, believe in the product and know its best features. There's just something about that that jumped out at me. What are an introvert's best features, especially in relationship, that we should claim more?
Well, I think our ability to listen and to listen with compassion and to listen hard, we're very good at taking in what people are saying and making them feel heard, which, as I talked about in my first book, The Introvert's Way, can be a liability with a chatterbox. But I think that's a great quality we bring to a relationship. I think we also bring sort of an aura of quiet with us. We can bring some peace, you know, particularly if you're with an extrovert who's go, go, go all the time. They often appreciate somebody who can say, okay, stop, stop, stop. You know, let's sit quietly. Let's have a moment. I think we think very hard. We think hard before we speak, so we might be less likely to blurt out harsh things or unkind things. And if we're with an extrovert, we don't fight for the spotlight. We let that person have the attention that he or she wants, and then we're there for them when they're ready to calm it down a little bit. So I think all the qualities that sort of make us introverts, we can frame them in a way that is a good product to sell.
Yeah. Well, that brings me to, I wanted to share a few questions that came from the Facebook community, because I shared we were having this conversation, and that dovetails nicely into one of them. And this comes from Dee. And I'm just going to read what she wrote, and I'd love to get your thoughts. She says, my biggest challenge is giving away too much and or feeling like I let my partner down when I really need to take care of myself. But now I'm learning how to, and he's learning he'd prefer a more balanced partner. It's also challenging to accept the differences, like we'll spend a day together, and I will feel full and want to bathe, read, and write. He'll feel so bouncy, he'll want to go out. And I'm assuming when she says that, you know, go out again. It felt like for a while he wasn't holding and treasuring our time together. Now I know that's how he ticks. I guess my question, if any, would be how to negotiate living together with someone who isn't sensitive to introversion. How to instill the boundaries of what you need and still get the space required with people who aren't fascinated in working with the difference, but see it as a deficiency.
That's a really tough one. I mean, if the person truly sees it as a deficiency and you're talking about the core of who you are, then it's a red flag to think about and decide if they're truly negative towards your essence, your introversion, then is that something that you can discuss and work out? If it's just a matter of not understanding and needing to work towards the compromises, I think that your partner can learn from you that by getting the time alone, you are a better partner. I think it's doing other people a favor when we take our time to recharge, because otherwise we can kind of not be a whole lot of fun to be around. Sometimes it's a matter of just gently bringing it up again and again. This is what I need. If your partner needs to go out after a day together, can he go out without you? And is everybody okay with that? Is it necessary that you go along? So really, it's sort of an ongoing process of education and an ongoing process of you finding where you can compromise too. You spend that day together and you need some downtime. Can I have 3 hours of downtime and then we'll go to dinner? Or can I have some downtime and then just the two of us go and not other people? And there's a lot of sort of middle ground that if you have mutual respect, and that's really the key, if you mutually respect the differences, you can certainly negotiate that middle ground.
And what I love about your book, both Introverts and Love in the Introvert's Way, is that you give introverts a vocabulary to have that kind of conversation. Especially in Introverts and Love, you give a lot of suggestions about how to phrase something or how to approach something. And I think that something like that would be really useful for someone in this kind of situation.
Yeah, let me think for a moment. You know, the thing is, I don't need alone time because I need to get away from you. I need alone time because I need alone time in order to be the best me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy to go out and spend time with you as long as you are sometimes happy to spend time with just me. If you start thinking about what it is that might be frightening the other person or disturbing them, then you begin to find ways to bring it up. If the worry is that this person thinks you're trying to get away from him, then what you want to do is reassure him that that's not the case. If it's that he feels that he's not getting the stimulation or living the life he wants to lead, then you can say, you are free to live that life out there as long as I am also free to live that life in here. You know, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not trying to get in the way. I just don't need to participate all the time. And see if you can address the concern that's behind the friction.
Well, here's another question that is related to that. And in this case, it sounds like there's an understanding, but the introvert is wanting to learn how to communicate more. So let's say you've met that special someone and you are in that committed relationship. And maybe you've talked about those introvert needs and maybe not. Alexandra on Facebook has a question that I know many, many others share. She asks, as an introvert, I often need space and time for myself. What's the best way to make that time and space, to explain it, to request it? How can I help my partner to identify when I'm just cranky from lack of time space and help him not to take it personally? I think that last part of the question is the one that is particularly powerful.
It's a tough one. I think one thing is that there's so much information about introversion out there that if you can share some of it and if you can get your partner to read some of it or to listen to podcasts like this and understand that it's not just you, that this is a trait that many people share, I think that takes a little bit of the personal out of it. I think it is up to us to express these things explicitly when we need to. I mean, you know, she says, well, maybe we have and maybe we haven't discussed it, and I think it's worth discussing. And I think that's one of the key points throughout Introverts in Love, is that a lot of this stuff is a problem only if we don't address it directly. Mm-hmm. I think that if you make sure and show over and over again, if you give me this time, I'll be so happy to be with you again. If you take that time and then make sure that you then reach out and reconnect in a warm and loving way so that they become ultimately reassured that whatever time you need to take, you'll come back happily and they're not going to have to drag you back in. You could take up a hobby that doesn't interest the other. You know, I love to hike. My husband doesn't care for it that much. So if I want to go out and need some alone time, I can go for a hike. I'm happy, he's happy, and it's not like I'm saying I need to get away from you, it's like I need to go take a hike. And so if there are different interests you can pursue, that can provide sort of a natural space within your relationship, as long as, again, you're also pursuing the togetherness things. But a lot of it is really just discussing this thing as much as it needs to be discussed. It may be the kind of thing that has to come up again and again as you settle into a relationship. And it may be that, you know, 10 years down the road, you might have to talk about it again. Like I said, there was that couple who, once the kids were gone, needed to renegotiate space yet again. So as long as it's all done in a loving way and you're being clear about what's personal and what's not, I think that your partner will eventually come around. It might take a little bit of time, but I think it works.
There's another question from a gentleman named Ian who is in that dating phase. And it seems like even in that dating phase, that's a good time to lay some of the groundwork for what we're talking about here. But what he says is, it takes me a long time to warm up to people, and sometimes even to realize, hey, I like that person. It may be particularly challenging for introverts, and he says, I am also shy, so that plays into it too. It might be particularly challenging for introverts in the early stages of dating and getting to know someone new. Any tips for navigating those early stages? Taking your time, but not taking too much time to realize you genuinely have feelings for someone.
Well, it's hard to say what is too much time, although I'll backtrack and tell a story from the book. I spoke to a couple, both members, who met online. They're both very introverted, and they were seeing each other for a while, and both really liked each other, but neither of them could tell because they were both so introverted. And finally, one of them said, all right, so listen, what's going on here? What's the deal? Do we like each other? And it turned out they did. They're now married. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I kind of get that thing. It's hard to kind of get it out there. But what is too much time? It's hard to know what's happening there. Is it too much time because the other person is kind of thinks, well, this isn't working and moving on? Is it too much time and that you lose interest or you get bored? But I think taking time, there's really nothing wrong with that. As long as you're enjoying yourself, then you can allow yourself to warm up. Now, you can express to the other person, hey, I'm having fun. Hey, it doesn't have to go from 0 to 60. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to go from a few dates to, gosh, I really have feelings for you. But as long as you're letting that person know, hey, I'm appreciating this time together, it doesn't have to be anything deep. And just kind of keep going. Just keep going. It's sort of like friendship. You know, when I've written about friendship, you got to go through some awkward awkward times, you got to leave the house. You got to just kind of roll with it as long as it's comfortable. When it stops being comfortable, that's when you know maybe that it's not working. But as long as it feels good, you just keep showing up and you let that other person know that you appreciate them, so that keeps them interested. You know, I mean, I realize it's really hard for us to express things, but, you know, hey, I had a great time tonight, or hey, I would really enjoy doing this with you, lets that person know that you might be working towards something. And aside from that, you can just kind of take your time. Because I think one thing introverts are at risk at because of this is that if we do have somebody like an extrovert who's very forward, we can get swept up into relationships simply because that other person has swept us along. Mm-hmm. So I think there's something very beneficial to sort of saying, okay, I take time, I need time, and giving yourself permission to do that, or you're at risk of getting swept into relationships that you really don't need to be in, and it might be harder to get out in the first place. So let yourself take the time, but if you think that there's a possibility of something more, let that other person know that you are enjoying them, and it should take a natural course.
You're reminding me also that part of what Ian is also saying is like there's a tendency to overthink it, and that could be the thing that takes a lot of time to express. And what you said about just being able to say, hey, this is fun, or I appreciate spending time with you, and that there's that middle ground between 0 and 60 might help us to break that overthinking a little bit and express our thoughts and feel a little less vulnerable, because it's pretty harmless to say, hey, I have fun with you, instead of I have feelings for you, you know?
Such a great point, the overthinking thing. It really is. You know, you go home after the date, you pick apart every moment and, you know, well, does that mean he's a good person? Does that mean he's a, you know, bad person? Mm-hmm. And really, it's just you're going with how do you feel with that person? Are you being your best self? And exactly, such a great point. Don't get wound up in your head.
Yeah. Well, you know, you alluded to this in the beginning of our conversation, and I'm, like you said, it's one of the biggest questions you get of, you know, birds of a feather or opposites attract. And it sounds like you kind of talked to even Stephen there. So I'd love to get one tip for each type, birds of a feather and opposites. So what's one tip for introverted couples that will, you know, help them not get too isolated or, you know, too much in their bubble? And then what's one tip for introvert-extrovert couples to help both partners meet both their needs?
One thing that introvert couples should always keep in mind individually, and it's sort of a terrible thing to think, but it's also something I think is important, is what if this relationship ends? Will I have other people to turn to? And I think that's one of the great risks of going into your bubble, is if you let other relationships go, you might find yourself a little bit at sea. I think we all need other people to turn to. And while that's worst case scenario, you know, what if you have a fight with your partner and need to go talk to somebody else? Will you have somebody to talk to? And I actually think about that a lot, although I've been married forever and everything's good. You know, do I have somebody else to turn to? And it is worth putting the effort into maintaining some other relationships in order to not get too isolated within the relationship. And with introvert-extrovert couples, I think the main thing is to talk about what's different. What are the different needs? And to just put it out there on the table and not just let time and conflict work it out for you. Mm-hmm. I think there's so much to be said for simple, straightforward discussion. And, you know, along with that, of course, mutual respect, that any of those differences can be bridged as long as you're not leaving the other person trying to guess what it is that you need and want.
You're reminding me of something I realized early on in my own marriage, which was you need three things: love, trust, and respect. And you've mentioned respect several times, and I so appreciate that. And it's also making me think, if you're respecting each other and you're learning about each other's differences, trust plays such an important role, especially when you're talking introvert-extrovert, because you have to trust that when the other person says, I need time alone, or I'd prefer to take this walk by myself, that they don't have any hidden agenda, whether they're not holding something back or there's not something unspoken. And even for the introvert to the extrovert, if the extrovert says, hey, I'm going to go out to the bar, you have to trust them. They're doing that because they need the social stimulation. They're not going to do something.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I appreciate that piece.
And it's important to realize, too, that the respect has to go both ways. Mm-hmm. And I say this because I hear a lot of hostility from introverts expressed towards extroverts, speaking generally, not speaking about personal relationships. And, you know, I kind of get it because we've sort of been put down for so many years. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the extroverts also bring tremendous benefits to the relationship. Of the relationships of people who are with extroverts, they all said, I love the fact that my partner brings a social life to me, mm-hmm. that my partner makes things happen in life. We talk a lot as introverts with this whole introvert power thing of being understood and having them see our ways, but it's got to work both ways. We have to express that if our extroverted partner wants to go out and have fun and we don't feel like going out, that means no passive-aggressive sighs, that means not texting every 10 minutes, that means not mm-hmm. calling, that means no silent treatment. You know, you have to say, okay, this is what he needs, and I will give it to him with a loving heart, or her.
Mm-hmm. Mm, I love that, a loving heart. That's the key. And it strikes me that what you're talking about, and I read somebody else had commented about this about your book, is that it's not just about romantic relationships, but really any relationships where we care about the other person, and that could be a friend or a colleague or a family member. A lot of the same principles seem to apply.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We're focused on romantic relationships because that's what people tend to worry about a lot, but I think it all generalizes.
Mm-hmm. Well, any final tips or pieces of advice that will help us be happy introverts in love?
I think the more you understand your own introversion, the degree to which you're introverted, what it feels like when you're reaching your threshold of interaction, how much alone time you need, whether you would rather be with somebody who draws you out or somebody who will come home with you. I think the more you are conscious of these things, the easier it is to express them and the easier it is to negotiate your relationships. We sort of go around blindly, I know who I am, I know what I know. But if you really start to put your finger on it and articulate it for yourself, it gives you a whole other tool for connecting with other people.
Well, thank you for sharing this wisdom, as well as, you know, for answering questions from the Facebook community. I really appreciate that, and I know they will too. And I love your book. It runs the gamut from, I don't have a romantic partnership in my life right now, and where do I start? How do I put myself out there? All the way up to the committed relationships. It's really for everyone in various stages, and that's one thing that I think is so valuable about this new resource
Thanks.
That you've offered.
I'm glad to hear that. I love it.
I have a couple final questions that I ask all of my guests. So if you were granted a 3-week vacation on Introvert Island and you could only take 3 books with you, what would you take with you and why?
Well, first of all, I'm a writer, so there's got to be a notebook / sketchbook journal kind of thing. I also like to sketch. I think I would take one sort of personal growth book, maybe something like The Mindful Path to Self-Compassion, which would give me sort of something to do. And then I'd take a novel, possibly the next thing on my Goodreads list, or possibly something like some big ponderous book that I've always meant to read but never had time, like Moby Dick,
right.
You know, that I feel like I should. So that would be for my sort of relaxing reading, and then I'd have something to work towards, and then I always have to be able to express myself, so there's got to be a notebook.
With a very good writing pen.
Yes, exactly.
So what is the best way for people to connect with you and learn more about you and your books? Because you have several beyond the introvert books as well, I should mention.
I do. I have a very unusual mishmash of books. Well, there's my website, sophiadembling.com, and I love to have people come there. I have a Facebook page, Sophia Dembling Professional Introvert. Or you can come to my blog on Psychology Today, The Introverts Corner. And if you come to Facebook, please join us because there's lots of great discussion. I have just such a cool group of introverts who come and hang out there, and I love it when people join us.
Isn't social media the best thing to ever happen to introverts?
I think so. As long as we don't let it isolate us.
Exactly. We use it for good and not evil. So it's been fabulous chatting with you, Sophia. And thank you for everything that you've offered and for your generous spirit. So thank you.
Oh, likewise, Beth. You know I love you.
Thanks. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Part 4, Reflection and Resources. I hope as you listen to Sophia's advice, you found something in there that resonated with you wherever you are on your journey. She offers us great reminders that yes, our introversion is part of the equation, but it's not the only factor. The most important thing is to have a deep awareness of and respect for your introvert energy, then know how to communicate that to your partner. I highly recommend Sophia's book for that very reason. Throughout the book, she frequently provides us suggestions of what to say in sensitive conversations. You have to find your own way of sharing your thoughts and feelings, of course, but it's so helpful not to have to start with a blank page.
In addition to Sophia's book, I also recommend The Introvert and Extrovert in Love by Marty Olson Laney. Both books would make great Valentine's, anniversary, birthday, or just because gifts for you and your significant other. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me. And please remember my invitation from part two. Take about 5 minutes, and if you enjoyed this podcast, share it with your friends, family, and colleagues, and consider leaving a review on iTunes. And of course, you'll find more information about introverts, entrepreneurship, and the services I have to offer at theintrovertentrepreneur.com. This is Beth Below, and until we meet again, remember that success and love is an inside job.